Rise and Shine, everybody. How's it going out there? Rise and Shine, everybody. Whoa. I am up with the roosters and chickens this morning. And I haven't been in the studio here for a couple of weeks, so I'm fidgeting with the dials and I'm having a little fun here. But everything seems to be going all right on my end. How is it out there for you? Good morning, everybody. If you are listening to this radio show live, you are listening in the morning. And we do have a beautiful golden sunrise out there today. A golden sunrise. And so it's amazing because that is actually who our guest is today. I've got Gold in the studio with me today. Gold. We're going to actually celebrate Gold. Eureka! Has anybody out there ever thought about gold? Well, what is gold? Well, I'll tell you, what got me thinking about gold was having some leprechaun stories on the radio show here a few weeks ago. I was thinking about leprechauns, and before that, we were learning about coins and money. And when you put leprechauns and coins together, well, who can't help themselves from imagining that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? That's where the leprechauns are. They are protecting their gold, and they love gold coins. Well, we're going to celebrate gold because those leprechauns got me thinking about gold. You know, like, what is it? And where is it? Well, it turns out it was really easy for me to invite Gold here on the studio, into the studio with me today, because gold is pretty much everywhere. Gold is all over the place. Gold is abundant. Do you guys know what that word means? We've been celebrating abundance here on Amy's Kid Show for many, many, many weeks, and maybe many years even by now. Abundance means everywhere, lots of it, all over the place. So gold is abundant, and at the same time, it's precious. And what does precious mean? Well, that means special, super, super special, and super valuable, like you. So guess what? You're partly made of gold. I'm partly made of gold. Gold is everywhere. It's even in our bodies. Isn't that kind of amazing? Wow. So we're going to celebrate gold here today on Amy's Kid Show. Who'd have thunk it, right? Well, I've got three really great stories. And I've got some more gold songs. Oh, gold songs. Yes, coming up soon. One of my favorites, Village of Gold. So thank you for joining me, golden people. Let's get started.
Watching me go walk this road.
6 miles home.
With a singing heart.
5 miles home.
Oh, we're walking.
4 miles home.
To where the song begins. Gonna walk this road.
3 miles home.
With a singing heart.
2 miles home.
It's just around the corner now.
1 mile home.
To where the day is dawning.
Dawning.
Hey-ho, watching me go down this road to the village of gold. Walls of emerald, I've been told, await us in the village of gold. Hey-ho, watching me go down this road to the village of gold. Walls of emerald, I've been told, await us in the village of gold.
Gonna walk this road.
6 miles home.
With a singing heart.
5 miles home.
Oh, we're walking.
4 miles home.
To where the song begins. Gonna walk this road.
3 miles home.
With a singing heart.
2 miles home.
Well, it's just around the corner now.
1 mile home.
To where the day is dawning.
Well, folks, It's 1849. No, it's not. It is not the year 1849, but if it was the year 1849, well, we would be hearing a lot about the gold rush in California. Because back in 1849, in our country, the United States of America, a lot of folks started moving out towards California looking for gold. They had heard that people were striking gold and they were finding it out there and getting rich. And so people would leave everything they had, everything that they already had, you know, their homes and their land and their farms and their jobs and a lot of their family. And they would take a few folks with them, a few hardy folks who could make the trip with horses and buggies and oxen all the way across the country looking for gold. I mean, boy, they put a lot of effort in to get that gold because it was so valuable, so precious. Well, unfortunately, most of those folks did not strike gold. They did not get a lot of gold, and they did not get rich. They may have found other cool things out there in California and met a lot of cool people and stuff, but they did not get rich. So that looking for gold thing and running all around, running far away to find it, is really sort of foolish, right? It's sort of like fool's gold, which is like a fake gold. It's sort of a fool's errand in a way, because gold is actually everywhere. So what is gold? Well, it's a metal. It's a metal, which is a kind of a rock from in the earth. And there are lots of metals in planet Earth, lots and lots of different kinds, and gold is one of them. And it is very special and very valuable. And where can we find it? Does it like grow out of the earth? Well, maybe it does. Some people think that gold was put here on Earth by meteorites, which are rocks in space that landed here and brought gold. Well, we're not really sure how it got here, but we do know that it runs throughout the earth in a shape called veins. Veins, which is another word we use also for like the veins in our body that carry the blood, right, through our body. Well, there are veins of gold running through the earth, and they're named that because, well, they sort of look like veins in the body, and these are the stripes and curvy lines. They're lines of gold. And gold is very heavy, actually. It's very dense, which means it sinks very easily. And the only thing that can really move it is water, a lot of water, or really, really hot water. And so water can break down gold over time and move it around. And that's sometimes how people find it. So if human beings want to get a lot of gold, for all the useful things we're going to talk about pretty soon here, about all the useful things we can do with gold, like making jewelry, right? If people want gold, well, how do they get it? Well, we can have something called a mine. We can build a big, gigantical mine, which is big machines digging the earth and move tons and tons of rocks. But that's not how individuals do it, right? A single person or a couple of people can actually go find gold right in the rivers, right? And right in the brooks, right where the water is moving and carrying that gold. And some people call that gold panning, right? Panning for gold, because you take a big pan and you sort of swish the water around with some rocks in it, with some dirt and rocks from in the river. You put them in this pan and you swirl them around and you keep cleaning the water till all the light bits of sand and the light bits of dirt and the lighter metals get washed out. And what you're left with eventually, after a lot of digging and a lot of panning and a lot of swirling, if you're lucky, is one of those heavier bits of gold. and that's called gold panning. And people here in Vermont actually do that because we do have gold, even here in Vermont. We have it everywhere, pretty much, on the planet. It's just about everywhere in these veins, right? If you can find the veins. And so we're going to hear a little story here about a gentleman who goes out gold panning, and he's going to explain a little bit about gold and where to find it, how to look for those parts of the river where the water slows down. And so these little bits of gold, these little flecks and flakes of gold might settle down, and maybe, if we're lucky, a nugget or two, right, of gold. These are just little bits of gold, but because gold is so valuable and so precious, even those little bits are worth the trouble sometimes. So we're going to learn a little bit about panning for gold. Thank you for joining me on this golden morning for Amy's Kids Show. Let's keep celebrating.
Today I'm on a very amateur hunt for a very unique material, gold. It's one of humanity's oldest treasures, but it keeps reinventing itself with the times. It's been a status symbol, a currency, a garnish, a future material, and a lot more. It came from outer space and ends up locked away in vaults. It lasts forever.
I've always thought about gold as this rarest of rare treasures, but I also found out recently that it's apparently not that hard to find around here, which completely messes with my whole idea of what gold's about.
So, welcome to my latest obsession. I'm going to try to understand what makes gold so valuable and find out whether it's actually all that rare.
I think I might have something. It is tiny.
So if I want to find some gold myself, I need to understand the journey that it goes on. A lot of wild stuff happened to get gold here to Earth. Cosmic explosions that chucked metals like gold out into the universe, a massive shower of metal-rich meteors that may have pounded the early Earth. It's all surprisingly controversial. What we know is that there's currently gold peppered throughout the Earth's crust and mantle. It collects in areas called veins. Basically, super hot water dissolves gold deep underground, brings it closer to the surface, and drops it in veins as the water cools. If a vein surfaces via erosion, the gold is weathered away into little bits and carried downstream by rivers. This is known as placer gold, and it's what we're after. The key to finding placer gold is its density. Gold is about 19 times denser than water, meaning only quickly flowing water can carry it. So you can expect to find gold wherever a river slows down, like here along an inside bend, or here where water deflects around a big rock. In either case, the current eases up and the gold drops to the riverbed. Which river to look in, that part's anyone's guess. Gold has been found all over the mountains here in Washington. But with the help of a local amateur miner, I got a tip.
And just past the bridge, there's a turnoff to a park.
Okay, good enough for me. So let's talk about why humans want gold so desperately.
According to the Gold Council, which is a trade group, its biggest single use historically is jewelry. It accounts for almost half of all gold ever mined. That's about 93,000 metric tons.
Then there are the industrial or practical uses for gold. Gold's great for dentists because it can be shaped into long-lasting fillings. It's also used as a conductor in electronics. There's an arthritis medicine made of gold. Tests that use gold, it really runs the gamut. So what's up with that last 35-40%? Right now there's about 75,000 tons of gold that's just being used as a thing that has value. It's formed into bars or coins and accumulated by governments and banks and investors. It's not being used for anything practical, but it holds value, largely because we all just agree that it does.
Out in the field, it's time to put my research to the test.
Hey, buddy.
Morning.
Ready to go get some gold?
Yes.
Okay. The whole river is kind of arcing widely this way, so we're on the inside bank, which is a good thing. I think we just start digging and see what happens. Now, ideally, we want to get as close to the bedrock layer as possible. As the gold moves through here, it sifts down through all this lighter material until it hits that bedrock layer. So for us, that either means finding exposed bedrock, or it means digging. And filter out the biggest stuff. Okay. So what I'm doing here just to start is getting all of this gunk suspended in a layer of water so that I can start to filter out the lightest stuff. The really light stuff is going to be the stuff that kind of dissolves in the water. And then I can start to let the lightest rocks tip off, and the heavier stuff will sink to the bottom of the pan, so that eventually all that's left is the heaviest stuff. That's going to be some black sand. It's made of different kinds of irons, and that's going to be gold. The point of this last step is to get it as spread out as possible across the bottom of the pan, so even the tiniest little flake will show up. Nope. Rah.
Well, folks, we were just down by the riverside with that gentleman, helping him pan for gold. That's a pretty cool way to start the day, huh? Panning for gold. Well, I did listen to the rest of his story, and he does continue to dig and sift and then pan those bits of dirt and things that he was picking up out of that river, and looking for flecks of gold to settle to the bottom of his pan as he was swirling the water around. And was he successful? Well, he was not successful the first day. And the second day, he did find a little fleck of something that he believes is probably gold, right? But it did take a lot of work, and he ended up with one little fleck. So there is a lot of work involved, but there is a lot of gold everywhere. It does require a bit of digging and a bit of work. But doesn't everything that's valuable usually require, you know, a little bit of care, a little bit of effort on our part? And it's our effort that brings all these good things to us, right? We have to put our best foot forward and put in a little bit of work ourselves. And so that's what he did, and he did find a little bit of gold. And so where else can we find gold? Well, people use gold for a lot of things. Where might we find gold? Just around our home, right? Or amongst our things. What have we turned gold into as humans? Well, you might find some gold jewelry around the house, right? Gold jewelry is very popular. That's one of the main things that people like to make it into. We also might have some gold fillings in our teeth. We also use gold to help with our electronics, to make the electricity move. It's a good conductor for electricity. And our bodies actually use a tiny, like the tiniest bit of gold settles into our bodies. And what do we use it for? Well, we use it for our brains and our neurons and the electrical messages throughout our whole body so that our body can speak with itself. It uses gold for those electrical conductions. And we also use gold in our joints. That's where two bones kind of come together and they can move, like in your elbow. That's a joint, right? Because you have your forearm and your upper arm coming together and it can bend in that spot. Our knees are a joint. Every little crook in our finger is a joint, right? Our hips have joints. Our spine is full of joints. All those joints have gold in them to help them move more easily. So gold is super valuable because we can use it for a lot of things. But we also use gold to make our money valuable. Governments and banks keep bars of gold in their vaults, very safely locked away. And that gold represents the value. That is the value that our money represents. So when we use our money, we are sort of pretending that we are using all that gold that's locked away in those vaults. Pretty interesting. And so how did humans decide that this rock has value? Well, we just agreed on it, right? I mean, why is gold more valuable than quartz or any other rock, right? We've sort of come to this agreement as humans. We agree that gold is valuable. So it's sort of imaginary, right? And then when we use our money to buy things, pretending that we're using that gold, but not really, we're using our money, we're sort of pretending again. We're pretending that money equals that gold. And we just sort of use our imaginations for that, because do we know if that's true? No. But we all play along. It's sort of like a big game that we all play along with. We all decide that gold is valuable. Well, what else is valuable? Well, we use gold to describe a lot of other things that we think are valuable. We have like the golden gates. Well, what are golden gates and why are they gold? Well, the golden gates lead into heaven, right? Have you heard of that? And then there's the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. And so why do we name those things golden? Because they're special. Because they're super valuable. It's one way of saying they are super, super valuable. We might also say there's a golden sunrise or a golden sunset. In fact, this music playing behind me right now is a song called, or a musical piece. It's not a song, there aren't any words, but it's a musical piece called Golden Slumbers. Golden Slumbers, so sleep can be golden, right? Because it can be super valuable too. We also have fields of grain sometimes being called golden. Fields of grain. Why? Because grain is what we make food out of, right? We make all kinds of rice and cereal out of grain. So it is a super, super valuable thing. And so we use the word golden to describe it. Here's a story just about that.
Growing Gold, as told by T.V. Padma, illustrated by Tom Wren. In a village on the Great Plain in India, there once lived a farmer with three lazy sons. The farmer had a field where he planted wheat, but his sons never helped him. The farmer's wife was upset with her lazy sons. They sat in the house all day, dreaming about gold, but never doing any work. She scolded them, but they would not listen. All they ever said in reply was, "We don't want to be farmers. We just want to make a lot of gold." Finally, the farmer's wife thought of a plan. "My sons," she said to them, "there is a secret that I have not told you. Long ago, my father buried a treasure of gold in this field. If you find it, you may have it all." The sons looked up with interest. "How deep is the treasure buried?" asked the first son. "Where in the field is it buried?" asked the second son. "What should we do to find it?" asked the third son. "I am not sure," she said. "Maybe if you plow the field, you will find it." The next morning, the farmer's sons were in the field before the morning mists had lifted. They hitched oxen to their plows and began to dig up the hard earth. "Rest," said the farmer's wife to her husband. "Let your sons plow the field. They are young and you are old. It is time they worked for their living." The farmer smiled at her, and together they watched their sons working hard in the field. That evening, the sons returned looking sad. "What is the matter, my sons?" asked the farmer's wife. "We did not find the treasure," said the first son.
"It must be buried deeper than the plough can reach," said the second son.
"What can we do to find it?" asked the third son. "Maybe if you plant these seeds, the roots will dig down deep enough to curl around the gold and pull it up."
"They are very special seeds," said the farmer's wife.
The farmer looked at the seeds in his wife's hand and smiled.
"These seeds are special indeed," he said.
Early the next morning, the farmer showed his sons how to sow seeds. All day long, his sons sowed the special seeds.
That evening, they were too tired to talk.
The next morning, they looked out at the field, hoping to see their gold. They turned to their mother with faces as long as wheat sheaves.
"What is the matter, my sons?" asked the farmer's wife. "You do not look happy this morning."
"The seeds have not sprouted yet," said the first son.
"Our gold has not been pulled up yet," said the second son.
"What can we do to help the roots reach the gold and pull it up?" asked the third son.
"Water the field," said the farmer's wife.
All day the sons dug a ditch to bring fresh river water to the field. That evening they returned with smiles on their faces.
"You are smiling, my sons," said the farmer's wife.
"The smell of wet earth is wonderful," said the first son.
"The sparkle of the water is beautiful," said the second son.
"Should we do the same tomorrow?" asked the third son.
"Yes," said the farmer's wife. "Your father will show you how to tend the seeds until they pull the treasure up by their roots."
The next day, the farmer's sons sang as they worked. The sun beat down on their backs, but they enjoyed feeling the soft, rich earth between their fingers. They were in the field every day, tending the plants that would one day grow strong roots, pull the hidden treasure out of the soil. They worked from early dawn to late dusk. Some nights they lay in bed too tired to think. The farmer watched them growing strong in their bodies and in their love for the land. One morning, as the first ray of sunlight broke through the clouds, the first son looked out upon the fields and saw something sparkling.
"Gold! Gold!" he shouted. "My brothers, we have our gold at last!"
The other two rushed to the window. As far as the eye could see, stalks of wheat were waving in the morning sun. The field was a sea of grain.
"Mother, the seeds have reached deeper than we thought they could," said the second son. "They have pulled to the surface something that slept within us."
"Father, can you show us how to harvest the grain?" asked the third son. The farmer turned to his wife with a smile of thanks on his face. Then he went out with his three hard-working sons to reap the golden harvest.
Folks, how did you like that story? I thought that was a great story about gold. About gold and where to find it. And what makes it valuable, right? I mean, here these boys these three sons were ready to just leave home and go on some fool's journey to look for gold out there in the world somewhere, somehow. They're going to make it rich randomly by just wandering around, right? And leaving home and going to look for gold. Well, luckily, they had a very wise mother and a very hardworking father who collaborated to teach them to look not out there for gold, but right here, right under their feet. You know, gold was right there, and their mother was being totally honest with them about how to pull it up from the earth. Plants do pull all kinds of metals from the earth, but I'm not sure if that's what she exactly meant. I think she just meant what's valuable. And the grain, the gold in fields of grain, when the sons finally saw that and they realized that right there at home was their gold, and they were wise to listen to their mother. I love how the third son always asked the most important thing. Well, he always said the most important thing. He asked the question, you know, to his mother, you know, well, what do we do? How do we do this? Where do we... He was so practical. He wanted to know the action step. What's the action step that will help us get this gold? What do we need to do, Mom? And she told them, and they listened. And it's such a beautiful story about appreciating what we have, because we do have abundance all around us. We do have gold all around us if we look at it that way, right? If we see the gold in it. So I have one more story for you this morning, and this one you may have heard before. This is about a girl with the name Gold in her name because of her hair, right? Sometimes we call yellow blonde hair golden, right? Golden hair. So this is a story about a girl with golden hair. Maybe you've heard it before, but we're hearing it today, not only because her name has the word gold, but because her story teaches us something about how to appreciate what we have, right? Having an attitude of gratitude, feeling grateful, and realizing that what we already have is the most valuable.
The thing about Goldilocks, she was extremely spoiled. Her parents pampered her like a Palm Beach poodle. They worked real hard to give her everything she wanted, but Goldilocks just never seemed satisfied. She was as headstrong as a moss-backed mule. At breakfast one morning, her father gave her a toy rabbit that was as cute as a bug on a sow's ear. But Goldilocks just folded her arms and turned away. "Bunnies are dumb. I don't want one," she huffed. "And I don't want breakfast. I want another teddy bear." There were dozens of teddy bears in her toy chest, but her parents rushed off to get her a new one. While they were gone, Goldilocks snuck out of the house, dashed into the woods to hide, one of her favorite tricks. Meanwhile, just a hoot and a holler away, three bears were in their cottage contentedly cooking breakfast. There was a really big papa bear and sort of a big mama bear and a baby bear who wasn't big at all. Breakfast was a pot of porridge as thick as fresh churned butter. Now this porridge was hot enough to scald a skunk, so the three bears decided to take a walk and let it cool. Goldilocks, starting to feel hungry without breakfast, smelled the bear's porridge, and she was off like a jackrabbit in coyote country. Through the bear's windows, she spied the three steaming bowls of porridge. Now, Goldilocks never knew the meaning of polite, so without even knocking, she walked right in and straight up to the bear's breakfast table. First off, she grabbed a great spoonful of the porridge in the really big bowl. "Yeah!" she gasped, fanning her mouth. "Any fool would know this is too hot to eat." So she picked up the middle spoon and tried the cooler porridge in the bowl that was sorta big. "Blah!" she grimaced. "Don't they have a spice rack?" Then she took a taste from the bowl that wasn't big at all. "Why, this is just right." It was so good, in fact, that she left that bowl as empty as a pauper's pocket. Goldilocks, on the other hand, was full as a tick and needed a place to sit down. She spotted three chairs by the fireplace and climbed up onto the really big chair. "Ash!" she yelled, rubbing her backside. "Haven't they heard of down cushions?" She slid off the first chair and tried the middle one, which was sorta big, but not really that big. She sank into the cushion like a rock in a rain barrel. "Ugh!" she hollered from inside the cushion. "Who is their decorator?" At last, she tried the chair that wasn't big at all. "Why, this is just right," she smiled, leaning back in the little chair. Now, Goldilocks was way too big for that chair. Leaning back in it was like walloping a walnut with a sledgehammer. The chair splintered into 100 little pieces. "Oh, my," she protested. "Someone should put that chair back together. There's never a handyman around when you need one." After all this exertion, Goldilocks felt downright drowsy. She had always told her mother that she didn't need a nap, but just now, Goldilocks would not protest a rest. So, she climbed the stairs, found the bear's bedroom, and pulled herself up onto the first bed, which was really big. "Too high," worried Goldilocks, peering over the edge. "And the sheets don't even match." She let herself down, pulling the pillow with her, and walked to the middle bed, which was sorta big, but not as tall as the first. She tried that one. "No way," she complained. "This is like lying on jello." Then she tried the third bed, which wasn't big at all. Goldilocks pronounced the little bear's bed just right. It was so comfortable, in fact, that in no time at all, she slipped sleepily into slumberland. Pretty soon, the three bears came back from their walk. The papa bear promptly saw the spoon in his really big bowl of porridge.
"Someone's been eating my porridge," he scowled.
Just then, the mama bear noticed that her spoon was in the bowl that was sorta big. "My goodness," she fretted, "someone's been eating my porridge, too." They both turned to see the baby bear staring teary-eyed at his bowl, which wasn't big at all, but was completely empty.
"Someone's been eating my porridge, and there's none left for me."
The papa bear was puzzled. He needed to think. He went to sit down in his really big chair, but he noticed that his favorite cushion had been moved.
"Someone's been sitting in my chair," he grumbled.
The mama bear turned and saw that the cushion on her chair, which was sort of big but not really that big, was nearly folded in half. "Someone's been sitting in my chair, too," she groused. They turned to see the baby bear crying over a pile of wood chips.
"Someone's been sitting in my chair, and it's all smashed to pieces."
By now, the papa bear began to sniff around for the intruder. Cautiously, he climbed the stairs to the bedroom. There, he spied his pillow on the floor next to the really big bed.
"Someone's been sleeping in my bed," he growled.
The mama bear was mighty concerned when she saw the quilt all crumpled up on a bed, which was sort of big but not as tall as Papa Bear's bed. "Someone's been sleeping in my bed, too," she moaned. They turned to see the baby bear with his mouth agape pointing at his bed, which wasn't big at all.
"Someone's been sleeping in my bed, and she's still there."
Sure enough, there was Goldilocks curled up on the little bed like a tuckered-out terrier. The papa bear let out a low, rumbling growl that shook all three beds. Goldilocks awoke and rubbed her eyes. She saw the three bears glaring at her and she shrieked, "Bears!" Now the three bears were well aware that they were bears. No one needed to tell them. But before they could question her, Goldilocks bolted from the little bear's bed and hopped out the window right into a tree. She slid down that tree so fast she left skid marks and she ran all the way home. Let me tell you, from that day on, Goldilocks stopped being stubborn.
"I'd like another teddy bear, please."
Traded in her tricks and did exactly what her parents told her. The three bears, I must mention, put a lock on their door. They never knew what a favor they had done for Goldilocks. In fact, they never saw her again. And I can't say that made them sad.
Made of gold, and stars appear as they do, all heaven they unfold. So don't feel bad because the sun. By the light above, they dance in the night as the breezes sigh. Soon you will fall asleep, into your dreams will creep visions of fairies flying through the sky. Breezes sigh. Soon you will fall asleep. Into your dreams will creep visions of fairies flying through the sky.
We made it to the end of Amy's Kids Show today. We've been celebrating. We're always celebrating here on Amy's Kids Show, but today we've been celebrating gold. Gold. Oh, and when I heard that last song that we listened to, The Moon is Made of Gold, I just thought, what an elegant song. What an elegant song. What does the word elegant mean? Well, not elephant. I'm not saying elephant. I'm saying elegant. Have you ever heard that word before? Well, it's elegant sort of reminds me of gold, because elegant means dignity and grace and magnificence, right? And it actually means the quality of being graceful and stylish. right? And so elegance and gold. I mean, why do people wear gold jewelry and decorate themselves with gold? Well, so that they can feel elegant. But guess what? We can feel elegant no matter what, because gold is abundant, and whether we have it on us or not, we have it in us. We have a tiny bit of gold inside of our bodies, so we are all elegant. And I met someone the other day, and I don't know if she had very much actual gold or even very much money, right, which a lot of people associate with gold, of being rich, right? I don't think she had those things, but boy, oh boy, did she ever have a lot of elegance. And what is elegance? It's dignity and grace and magnificence and luxury, right? Luxury means feeling like you have abundance, just sitting in your chair right now or standing on your feet and knowing that you have abundance. That's luxury. We should just luxuriate in all of the abundance of the wealth, of the gold, of the dignity, of the elegance that we all have. Because guess what? You are golden. You are. Because even though humans are abundant right now on the planet, there are lots of us. But guess what? We're each precious. We're all so individually precious, right? We're like gold. We're abundant and precious at the same time. So it has been my pleasure to be in here today in the radio station celebrating gold and bringing gold onto the airwaves, because gold helps us transmit electricity, and electricity is communication. So that's what I'm doing right now. These are golden airwaves coming out to you, showering you with gold. So have a wonderful, wonderful, elegant, luxurious, magnificent time with yourself, because you're the greatest.
Heart. 5 miles home.
Oh, we're walking.